Pilate asked Jesus, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And then he went further. He also said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to truth." Jesus' purpose is also our purpose. This is why we're here, so that we can bear witness to God's truth. To bear witness to truth is to know and experience all that is of God, His principle and His law. It is to know that the Father and I are one. It is to have spiritual understanding that God and all that is of God is infinite, perfect, it's pure and complete. In order to know life eternal, we must awaken to the realization of our oneness with God. The truth is, we are not the bodies that we see and touch. These bodies were created by the human consciousness. These bodies will eventually die and disappear, but the spirit that we are eternally will never die. The spiritual body lives forever. It is infinite. It doesn't age. It doesn't get sick. One of the ways that Jesus was a witness to truth was through healing. In the Bible, we are told, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" God's nature is our nature, for He created us in His own image and likeness. This means that what is true of God is true of us, for in reality, we are spiritual beings, and we live in a spiritual universe. The attributes of God, such as love, wisdom, wholeness, perfection, joy, and abundance, they are also ours. However, unless we have the conscious realization of these attributes, we will not experience them. Our body responds to our consciousness. If our focus is on the duality of the human experience, our bodies will respond accordingly to our beliefs and the general beliefs of the external world. That's why we have epidemics, because one person gets sick and then everybody gets sick because they're thinking about it and they get afraid. However, when we let God be God in our lives, and when we have conscious awareness of our oneness with God, and we know and trust that He is the one power, our body will respond to the divine principle of the omnipresence of God. Wholeness is our birthright as a child of God. This is why Jesus could heal the sick, the hungry, the poor, or lost, because He knew truth. There is no blindness, sickness, injury, or trauma when one can truly see beyond the appearances to the divine spirit that lives us. When God expresses through us, He reveals His wholeness and perfection. When we live from the consciousness of the Christ within, only that which is of God is revealed in our experience. When Jesus healed, He was not healing a sick body or solving problems. He was healing consciousness, for He only saw the children of God who are eternally perfect. Everything begins in consciousness. If we have strong beliefs, we will live to experience them. I know a young lady whose grandmother died of a heart attack at the age of 60. Her mother also died of a heart attack at the age of 60. She strongly believes that she will die at the age of 60. No matter what anybody says to her, including me, she won't let go of this belief. Jesus never saw sick people or poor people or dying people. He didn't see lack or limitation of any kind. He saw the truth of all people as they were created by God. His whole mission was to teach the truth that God was ever with us and to instruct us on how to reach God within. The word health in spiritual terms does not apply only to a sound body and mind. It also applies to our financial state, relationship with others, the work that we do, the home that we live in. In fact, it applies to every facet of our life. When we face any lack or limitation, it is the signal to stop in our tracks and go within. Be still and listen to the Father. In turning to our Father, we must know in our heart that God's healing is really a revelation of our creation, the truth of our being. We went to sleep to our spiritual being, and now we are looking to return back to the Father's house. In fact, we should be grateful for the problems that show up, because they are like the bells going off saying, stop, stop trying to do it your way. For of ourselves, we can do nothing. In Luke, we are told to seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father know that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. If you have any doubt that God loves you, work on it. He loves you. You are his beloved. He made the kingdom for you. Have faith in him. Jesus made it clear that we are the children of God and that love is always with us. We need not take thought for anything, for God already gave us the kingdom. When we worry or are afraid of possible problems, we bring them to us, for as in mind, so in manifestation. We attract that which we keep in mind over and over again with our emotions. Consistent thinking with emotions brings us the experiences that we focus on. Athletes are now told by their coaches that they must see themselves as winners in order to be good at their sport. Fear is a strong emotion that, if it gets a hold of us, will definitely create the situations that we don't want. This is why we must guard our thoughts and feelings with all diligence. We must be careful what we allow to enter, and more importantly, stay in our mind and in our heart. Stop saying that it is difficult to meditate. Just know that you will go within as often as possible, and God will show the way, because he will. We need to seek God's kingdom first with no ulterior motive, which means to go to God for the pure joy, just to be with him, just to be in his presence, just to be silent and still. We turn within to be an instrument for the activity of God out here in the world. When we turn to God, we let go of our wants, our needs, our desires, and thoughts. We want God to search our heart and know that we are sincere in wanting to know him. In order to establish a consistent practice of being still, practicing the presence, we need to have faith and trust in God. The Bible tells us your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God is the wholeness of his people. However, if we have turned away from God, do not have a relationship with him, and do not spend time to listen to him, we are then subject to the whims of the ups and downs of the human consciousness. Through faith, we all get up in the morning. We drive our cars, we ride the metro, we ride the bus, we get on planes, we eat in restaurants, we swim in the ocean, except for me, and we trust doctors. It is faith that keeps us going day in and day out. We can't put our faith in man whose breath is in his nostrils. We can't put our faith in people, for we know at some point we will be disappointed. Again in the Bible it says, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of those out here in the world tends to be based on false premises." People are in constant competition getting what they believe is theirs at any cost. When all on the outside fails and there is nowhere else to go, it is the time that some turn to God for him to solve a problem or just to make things better. But you know, God doesn't know anything about human problems. In fact, he doesn't know anything about the human condition. For God only knows that which lives in infinity. Do problems live in infinity? No. In God's kingdom, do investments go up and down? No. Under God's law, is there good and bad, luck, poor health, or fear? No, of course not. God is infinite good, perfect wisdom, unlimited abundance, eternal peace, and harmony. God does not know of the devil or evil. He can't, for those things are of the temporary condition known as the mortal state of mind. You and I were made immortal. We live in eternity with our Father, God. For many people, all that happens out here is very real to them, and it's very real to most of us when it happens. Our emotions take over. Sometimes we lose control, and we may say or do things that later on we regret. When we have true faith, we trust God, we then know that it is the word and the grace of God that doeth the works. In John it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word is God's revelation given to us. His power is in his Word. Then do we awaken and are lifted above the human condition. It is then that we can be in the world, but not of the world. God's Word is that which expresses and is manifested out here in the world. The word is truth, which is of spirit. God's word has in it the totality of all that is God. You may remember the story of the centurion in Matthew, who said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should have come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." There are times when someone may turn to God with a sincere heart, knowing that they of themselves can do nothing. While they may not ask for a particular thing, they know that God is the one and only power. Turning within with such sincerity opens the person to receive the word of God, not only as a message, but as a response where answers to the problems are revealed. Now, we all at some point have gone through pain and suffering, but these experiences are due to our acceptance of a belief that we are separated from our source of all good, the one and only good, divine spirit. Anger, depression, jealousy, and hate will also bring us discord when we keep these emotions to us and believe in these emotions. When we have this, we attract illness, disease, and other bodily problems. Did you know that there are no diseases, sickness, ailments, or imbalance, or discord of any kind in the body, in relationships, in your bank account, in your home, or anywhere else in your life? The discords that occur are in mind, in consciousness, only because someone has accepted a belief that is not so. In truth, there is only God. The human consciousness knows nothing of God, and God knows nothing of the human consciousness. God is infinite, and the human consciousness is finite. And never shall the two meet. There are people who try to spiritualize the human being or the human condition. It can't be done. And it is a waste of time and energy. Yes, when we have a relationship with God, He comes through us. But the us is not human. It is spirit. This is why when we pray, we must be silent. Because human thought and human words will only get in the way of our seeking to know the things of spirit. We must not allow the noises of the human mind to linger while we are in prayer. We must be silent and still so that we may enter the silence where God is found. In the Bible, we are told that by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We must realize that once or twice a day of turning within is just not enough. We must turn within as often as possible until we are praying without ceasing. Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Our continual silent prayer practice and our meditations will slowly put us under God's law of oneness, where the Christ within will live our life, and we will know God's heaven on earth. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James told us, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." What he's basically saying is that we need to learn how to turn to our Father. Many in the world go to God believing that they are praying when they tell God about their problems or when they need something. We need to turn to God, not just when we have issues, but also when things are good. We need to acknowledge God's work and be grateful for His good expressing in our life. That which we call luck, or believing that the stars were aligned in our favor, is probably God in action. Gratitude for what we have in our life brings more of the same. The law of giving and receiving tells us that what we give in life, we get in return. In reality, we are not who we appear to be. Just like for Jesus the Christ lives in our being, it is principle that all that is true of Jesus is also true of us. That's why he said that we can do what he did, and even greater things than these will we do. The purpose of prayer is to abide in the secret place of the Most High, so that we may have a relationship with God, so that we may know His kingdom, and so that we may know who we truly are. Effective prayer will guard our thoughts against the human experiences constant shouting at us about the bad and the good, and instead will keep our minds stayed on God. But as it says in the Bible, we must in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. We must learn to protect our thoughts and feelings and be clear in what we accept as true and real for us. All day long, we make judgments. This is the human consciousness. We make judgments based on our values, our experiences, our fears, our wants, our needs. We must learn to go beyond the appearance so that we may see God in action. To go beyond the appearance, we must be able to see that God is in that person, in that place, in that thing. Creative spirit is always present, waiting for a consciousness to recognize and welcome him, so that all of God's beauty can be known. We may not realize it, but we create the discords and problems by our own way of thinking and attitudes towards others and ourselves. No one external to us can affect our consciousness unless we allow it. If our consciousness is filled with God's attributes, then do we experience God in action. And as Jesus, we would not see poor people, bad people, or troubled people. The book of Luke in the Bible told us to seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek God's kingdom by communing with him, turning to him, expressing love for all, and spending time in the secret place of the Most High, being helpful to others. For when we serve others, we serve our Father. For in this consciousness, prayers are answered, because answered prayer is God realized in consciousness. God is the answer to all needs, all wants, all questions, and all desires. We are healed when we are living our life according to God's truth. For the Father and I are one. Let us now make this lesson practical. Will you join me in our closing meditation? Turn your focus within. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Relax your bodies. Let us turn within and knock at the door of the silence with our stillness and quietness. Let us turn within to the Christ, leaving all of our thoughts and all of our beliefs, and follow the light that shines the way to God's kingdom. Divine Spirit is the cause of perfect life, yours and mine. Our mind can imprison us or set us free, for when we live from God's mind, his truth will give us the freedom to know his heaven and his kingdom. Let us be still. Thank you for your guidance, so that we may return to your house, for your ever-loving presence here and now. I give you thanks, and I say, Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you eternal life. Amen.